Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Yud Tes. Today's shir is sponsored by Dovi Kupfer and family in honor of Elisha Greff. Today's daf again is the Daf Yud Tes. We left off in the bottom of the Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and we're about to get into the issue of how Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva relate to each other. Rabbi Yossi was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and we had mentioned yesterday how Rabbi Yossi derives various types of Tumah. So first we're going to discuss how we know that Rabbi Yossi rejects Rabbi Akiva's idea that it's possible for even Chulin to become a Shlishi L'Tumah. We began to mention Rabbi Akiva's idea yesterday. Rabbi Akiva holds because Yitmah could be read Yitamei, so he learns from a Pasuk that Chulin can even become a Shlishi, which is against everything we normally think of in the Halachas of Tumah and Taharah, where we normally assume that for Chulin, Sheni is the end of the line. Rabbi Akiva holds Chulin can become a Shlishi, so we're going to find that Rabbi Yossi does not accept that, and we're also going to find that Rabbi Akiva rejects Rabbi Yossi's idea from yesterday's daf, where Rabbi Yossi derived from Kal V'Chomer's that we would add a level of Tumah to Truma beyond what Chulin can have, and to Kodesh beyond what Truma could have. So wherever you draw the line at the end of Chulin, go one more level for Truma and one more level for Kodesh. So if you draw the end at Chulin by a Sheni, so then it's like what we're used to thinking. You have a shlishi l'truma and a revi b'kodesh. That's what Rabbi Yossi holds. Rabbi Akiva doesn't follow that model, though. If Rabbi Akiva followed that model, then you would have an example. Then, according to Rabbi Akiva, you would have a shlishi b'chulin, because Rabbi Akiva holds you have a shlishi b'chulin, a revi b'truma, and a chamishi b'kodesh. And we never find that Rabbi Akiva says anything like that. So Rabbi Akiva does not accept Rabbi Yossi's idea, and Rabbi Yossi does not accept Rabbi Akiva's idea. We're going to focus primarily in the first half of the daf on how we know that that's the case, how we know that neither one accepts the other, and in that context the Gemara is going to discuss whether the idea of tziruf, that multiple items in a single kli are considered to be a single unit for halachos of tumah, is a din d'rabbanan or a din d'oraisa. So that's going to come up parenthetically when we're trying to figure out how we know Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. Then the entire Amud Beis, and really Amud Aleph of the next stuff as well, discusses another statement of Rabbi Chanina Segana Kohanim. We've been focused on one. Rabbi Chanina Segana Kohanim has another statement about a tamei needle found in a shechted karban, and that's going to be the next major treatment of Rabbi Chanina Segana Kohanim. We're in the last two dapim though of Tumah and Taharah, so we're almost there. Last two dapim, and then we get back to Pesachim related issues. So we left off yesterday on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We had mentioned Milsa Dasi B'Kal V'Chomer Tarach V'Kasav Lakra, that we have a source from a Kal V'Chomer and from a pasuk for Shitas Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, Amle Ravina L'Ravashi V'Hama Rava Lo Rabbi Yossi Savar K'Rabbi Akiva V'Lo Rabbi Akiva Savar K'Rabbi Yossi. Now, wait a second, what did we just do? We built Rabbi Yossi's entire Shita based on the word Yitma, that he darshans like Rabbi Akiva, that Yitma means Yitame. Meaning, in the previous daf, we learned that Rabbi Akiva holds that Chulin can become a Shlishi B'tuma. We learned that Rabbi Yossi uses a Kal V'Chomer to derive an additional level of Tuma that Truma has beyond what Chulin has, and that Kodesh has beyond what Truma has. So Rava asserted, though, that lo Rabbi Yossi savar k'Rabbi Akiva, lo Rabbi Akiva savar k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi rejects Rabbi Akiva's idea of a shlishi b'chulin. Rabbi Akiva rejects Rabbi Yossi's idea of adding a level to each one. So says the Gemara, Amar le Rabbi Yossi b'shitas Rabbi Akiva rabo amra v'le lo svirle. Rabbi Yossi, when he said Tumas Mashkin has the ability to be metame other things midaraisa, and he used, how did he know, where do we derive that Mashka has the ability to be metame other things midaraisa? So he said Rabbi Yossi gets it because he follows Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, who says Yitma could be read Yitamei. So by Mashkin, when it says Yitma, it means Yitamei will be Metamei other things. So that was only said within his Rebbe's Shita, within Rabbi Akiva's general approach, who says the same, because Rabbi Akiva uses that by Ochlin to teach me that you could have a Shlishi Bechulin, and Rabbi Yossi says, so if Rabbi Akiva is going to hold that way, then Rabbi Akiva will also hold that a Mashka has the ability to be Metame Midaraisa, because he's going to word Yitame, he's going to hold that the word Yitma could be read Yitame. But that's all within Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi himself does not hold that Mashka has the ability to mitame other things midaraisa. He himself is not Doresh Yitma Yitame. The whole Chiddush of Rabbi Yossi, that Mashka has the ability to be mitame midaraisa, was only said within the context of his Rebbe's opinion, but he himself happens to reject his Rebbe's opinion. So Amar Le Rav Ashi Le Rav Kana, Bishlam Rabbi Yossi Lo Sov Lek Rabbi Akiva D'Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yossi, so he says the fact that Rabbi Yossi rejects Rabbi Akiva, that we know explicitly, that we're going to find we have an explicit price of that way. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Minayin L'Ravi B'Kodesh U'Pasul. Rabbi Yossi says, how do I know that a Ravi B'Kodesh is Pasul? V'dinu. He makes the following Kal V'Chomer, that you can have a concept of a Ravi B'Kodesh. Ma Mechusar Kippurin. Shemutu B'Truma Pasul B'Kodesh. Shlishi Shepasul B'Truma. Ein Odin. She has a Ravi B'Kodesh. That the Kal V'Chomer is a tough Kal V'Chomer to logically really explain. Mechusar Kippurin is a reference to a person who, in order to become Tahar, not only has to wait a certain amount of time and go to the mikveh and then wait for Arav Shemesh, but also has to bring a karban, let's say a zav or a zava, yoledes, right? They have to wait a certain period of time, go to the mikveh, wait for Arav Shemesh for the nightfall, and then bring a karban. So at each stage, different things become mutter to them. At the tevila, they could start eating Maaser Sheni. At Arav Shemesh, now they could start eating Truma. But until they bring their karban, they're called the Mechusar Kippurim. So even if they after the Arav Shemesh, after nightfall, till they bring their korban the next morning, they're a Mechusar Kippurim. The halach is, a Mechusar Kippurim is not allowed to eat Kodesh. He's only allowed to eat Kodesh once he brings that korban. So the Kal V'Chomer runs like this. If a Mechusar Kippurim is allowed to eat Truma, and yet he's not allowed to eat Kodesh, he's pasul b'Kodesh, a shlishi, the concept of shlishi, which is problematic for Truma, is not going to be, should for sure be problematic for Kodesh. So what do you mean? What is it? The concept of shlishi? Mechusar Kippurim, we're talking about how a human being who is a Mechusar Kippurim treats Kodesh, how he interacts with Kodesh. Shlishi, we're not talking about how it interacts with Kodesh or how it interacts with Truma. Shlishi is a concept, it's not a thing, right? So with the concept of Shlishi applies to Truma, so it's a difficult Kal V'Chomer to say. The way you have to say it is that if that which is non-problematic for Truma is problematic for Kodesh, Mechusar Kippurim has no problems with Truma, he is still problematic for Kodesh, he's not allowed to eat Kodesh, so is Shlishi, which as a concept is problematic for Truma, should for sure be problematic for Kodesh as well. So, but wait a second, should for sure be problematic for Kodesh, that should just teach me that Kodesh can become a Shlishi. How does that teach me Kodesh can become a Revi'i? The notion of Shlishi is problematic for Kodesh. So, v'lamanu Shlishi b'Kodesh min HaTorah u'Revi'i mikal v'chomer. Because the concept of Shlishi l'Kodesh, we already know min HaTorah, so the Kal V'Chomer is therefore free to teach me an additional level of tuma that Kodesh has beyond what we already see in the Pesukim in the Torah. Where do I already see in the Pesukim in the Torah that Kodesh can become a Shlishi? Shlishi min HaTorah d'chsiv v'abasar she'iga b'chol tamei lo ye'echel. That the Pasuk says that that the basar that touches anything tamei lo ye'echel. And we darshin kol tamei is a reference to a sheni l'tuma. So the basar Kodesh that touches a sheni l'tuma cannot be eaten. Why? Because it's a shlishi. So you already see in the pasuk a concept of a shlishi b'kodesh. So what do I need this Kal V'Chomer for? It must be the Kal V'Chomer adds an additional level for kodesh. Milo askinon denaga b'sheni. That pasuk is talking about where you have basar kodesh that touches a sheni. Revi mi Kal V'Chomer kedam rinan. And therefore we then have the ability to learn the concept of a revi b'kodesh from a Kal V'Chomer, like we just said that the Kal V'Chomer from a Mechusar Kippurim. So, but if Rabbi Yossi held like Rabbi Akiva of Yitma Yitamei Nisni Nami Ravi Betruma V'Chamishi B'Kodesh, then he should be able to learn that there's a Ravi Betruma and a Chamishi B'Kodesh. He should learn an additional level down of Tuma, because after all, Rabbi Akiva holds even Chulin can become a Shlishi. So then his Kal V'Chomer, the Kal V'Chomer of Ma Mechusar Kippurim, would run as follows. If of Mechusar Kippurim, which has no problems with Truma, has a problem with Kodesh. So we would say a Revi, which has problems with Truma, should have a problem with Kodesh, because we learn from a Kal V'chomer that Truma goes a level beyond Chulin, and then the Kal V'chomer should teach me that Kodesh go a level beyond that. So obviously, Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Rabbi Akiva. He does not accept Rabbi Akiva's idea of a Shlishi B'chulin. So that we got. Ela Rabbi Akiva lo sover k'Rabbi Yossi minalan. But how do I know it works in the other direction as well? That Rabbi Akiva rejects Rabbi Yossi's idea of going one level beyond Chulin for Truma, and one level beyond Truma for Kodesh. Meaning we know Rabbi Yossi doesn't accept Rabbi Akiva's idea of a Shlishi L'chulin, but Rabbi Akiva, who holds of a Shlishi L'chulin, how do I know that he doesn't go a level beyond that to teach me a Revi B'Truma and a Chamishi B'Kodesh? So Amar Lei, so the Gemara is going to suggest two answers. First answer says, Gemara Amar Lei, the lo l'shtamit han of a listening Revi B'Truma v'Chamishi B'Kodesh v'neim Rabbi Akiva hi. So we never find anywhere in Shas that there's a Tana and a Mishnah, a Braisa, a Tosefta that teaches us a concept of a Revi B'Truma and a Chamishi B'Kodesh, and have the Gemara jump up and down and say, what? Who's that? Who would ever say such a thing? And then we say, oh, that must be Rabbi Akiva. That conversation never happens. If, in fact, there existed such a shita, that there's a Revi B'Truma and a Chamishi B'Kodesh, it should have come up somewhere, and we would have attributed that shita to Rabbi Akiva. From the lack of a conversation in our Mesorah to that end, tells us that there must not exist such an opinion. So says the Gemara, is that really proof? Is that conclusive proof? Va'anana hachi nekum v'nismoch. Lack of a conversation in our preserved Mesorah and what we have in Torah Shebaal Peh is proof that it doesn't exist. Maybe they just did it for whatever reason, never made it into a Mishnah. It's one of the lost brises or something. How do I know that? That's not necessarily the greatest raya that it doesn't exist. The lashon nekum v'nismoch is a little bit of a difficult lashon. V'nismoch sounds like what we're going to rely on halacha l'maisa, right? We're going to rely halacha. None of this is halacha l'maisa. Pnei Yeshua points that the lashon nekum v'nismoch must not be meduklak, because aside from the fact that all this is the mashicha, that this is obviously not nogeya bizman hazeh, where we have no issues of kodesh, unfortunately. So aside from the hilchsel mashicha idea that, and so one might say, well, no, it's not hilchsel mashicha. What if you have chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh? We don't have kodesh, but we have chulin shenasa. You could have chulin that you treat with the tara of kodesh. So Tosus writes that revi b'kodesh is not tamei bechulin shenasa al taras kodesh. Tosus in Chagiga says that way. So says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not at all nogeya lemaisa. It's purely hilchsel mashicha. And he says, even if it were Nogei L'maisa, it's still not enough communion if Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yossi or not, because it's Pashut that we're not going to pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Das Yachid over here, that there exists a concept of a Shlishi B'chulin. So the whole idea is of Nekum V'nismach, he says, doesn't seem like there would be enough communion L'alacha. The Lashon doesn't seem to be perfect. However, says the Pnei Yeshua, maybe there is enough communion L'alacha if we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. He goes through a very detailed possible nafkamina lalacha. Maybe we shouldn't get into it right now. But it doesn't sound like the lashon is going to be is that meduktak. The tzlach raises a different issue over here. We talk about this concept of a chamishi, of the possibility of a chamishi b'kodesh. There is a sugya in the end of Maseches Menachos where the Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Shimon, that kol amid lisarav k'sarav dami, that anything that's going to be burnt, we already view it as if it has been burnt. So the Gemara asks, Nosar Upara, why are Nosar Upara able to be Matami Tumas Ochlin? They shouldn't have a din of Ochel because they're something that's only Lisarif. They're Afar Bialma. They have to be burnt. If you view everything that has to be burnt as if it's already burnt, so anything that it's a Chiv Srefa, we should view as ashes, not as food, and therefore should not be subject to Tumas Ochlin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Chibas HaKodesh makes them an Ochel. So Midrabanan, they're Matami Tumas Ochlin. We're going to have this concept later in today's daf as well. that there is this concept of the Levona and Gacheles of the Mizbeach becoming Tamei like Tumas Ochlin. Levona is not a food, Gacheles is not a food, Eitzim are not a food, and yet they become Tamei like Tumas Ochlin. Why? Because Chibas HaKodesh, when something is Hegdish, it's so beloved that it gets raised a level beyond what it really is. So we, even though it's not food, we treat it like food. So that's what the Gemara says, Midrabanan, the Chibas HaKodesh is Metame Tumas Ochlin, and therefore we count it as a regular Tumas Ochlin, and we go with Rishon Sheni Lutuma like we would by an Ochel. So it would turn out that we don't find the concept of an Ochel Kodesh being Metame other things Minatora, even if the Ochel that's Kodesh is a Rishon, because on a Daraisa level we wouldn't find it, because the second that food that's Kodesh becomes Tame, it becomes ki'ilu, it's nisraf, it becomes non-food immediately. Kalome l'sarif is k'sarif tame. As soon as it becomes tame, it's only l'sarif, and it would be considered afra b'yalma right away. And the same would be true with truma. As soon as truma becomes tame, what does it become? It becomes as if it's nothing, as if it's burnt. According to Tosfos, truma is min ha'nisrafim. So an ochel tame shel truma is afra b'yalma, and should not be able to be tame anything min ha'Torah. So, and if you're going to say Tumas Mashkin, the ability of a Mashkin to be Metame other things is Drabanan, we never find a Revi Bakodesh nor Betruma. If you're going to say like this, it would turn out that you would never have such a concept on a Daraisa level. That if you hold like the Rabbanan, that a Sheni cannot make a Shlishi Bechulin, so the Shlishi that will make a Revi is for sure Ochel, because a Mashkin can't be Metame other things, and either Truma or Cut, and it's got to be either Truma or Kachim, because by Chulin you don't have a Shlishi. There is no such thing as a Shlishi by Chulin. So since it's food of Truma or Kachim that becomes a Shlishi in the first place, and it's Omid Bisrefa, so I ask the Tzlach, how do you ever have a Revi? The Revi should never exist on the Daraisa level. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that a Sheni can make a Shlishi Chulin by Chulin Minator, meaning a Chulin can become a Shlishi Minatora, so Revi can, Truma can become a Revi, and Kodesh can become a Revi if the Shlishi that it touched was Chulin, and therefore the Chulin was not only the Sarif, but still you would never have a Chamishi B'Kodesh, because the only way to have a Revi would be with Truma. So the idea of a Chamishi wouldn't exist B'Kodesh. So the Tzlach raises the question, how does the Gemara know that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi? Maybe they talk a duel like each other, and the reason it never comes up with Chamishi B'Kodesh is because it's just practically, you can't have such an example. Meaning, maybe in principle, they agree with each other. Maybe Rabbi Yossi, who holds from Kal V'Chomer's, that typically will go one level beyond, will apply the concept of a Shlishi B'Truma, Revi B'Kodesh, maybe Itaka does hold, like Rabbi Akiva, that there's an idea of Shlishi B'Chulin. You just still can't have a Chamishi. You're just never going to get there. So says the Tzlach, what you have to say is that the Rai of the Gemara is from the fact that Rabbi Yossi doesn't say Revi B'Truma. The Chamishi B'Kodesh part is not, you're right, is not a Raya, but Revi B'Truma is the Raya that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. Because if he held like Rabbi Akiva, then there should have existed a concept of a Revi B'Truma. That has to be the primary limit over here. It's just an interesting ha'ara that he had about the Kol Omid Lisarif is Kesarif Tami. Okay.
Why don't you say that by Chametz, that once you're going to burn Chametz together, that it's not a problem?
That it's, what do you mean
it's
that's not a problem?
It's considered like ashes, so therefore the statement that we were discussing earlier about, you know, can you burn chametz truma
tamei? Oh, that shouldn't be able to be tamei anything, because right. It's also a kasha, right? Look at the same kasha.
You don't have to burn chametz. Get rid
of it. Well, that's machlokas tanaim, right? But if you hold that ein bir chametz al shreifa, right? If you hold that's the only. So then, yeah, in a chinami, that kasha should apply there also. Okay, so that's all one answer. The Gemara wanted to say, so again, how do I know Rabbi Akiva doesn't know like Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara said, well, we never find any Tana that says this way. So the Gemara wasn't satisfied with that. What do you mean we never find any Tana? So what? That's not a Raya. So instead, Nafuk Rav Ashi, V'item Rav Kahana, Duk V'ashkach, Rav Ashi or Rav Kahana went out and they researched it and they came up with the following. How I know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't know like Rabbi Yossi. Hadetnan, Hakli Mitzarif, Esmasha B'Tocha, L'Kodesh, Avalo L'Truma. The Mishnah says, says that a kli can combine the contents of the kli in regards to kodesh, but not in regards to truma. Meaning, you have a bowl and it's full of different foods of kodesh, but they're not actually touching each other. On one side of the bowl, you have some food of kodesh. The other side of the bowl, you have another food of kodesh, and something tameh touches the food on one side of the bowl, and it doesn't touch the food on the other side of the bowl, nor does it touch the kli. So nevertheless, all of the food in the bowl becomes tameh. The kli is mitzarif to be considered one unit. So the kodesh, but not the truma. Varvi bekodesh pasul, vashlishi betruma. We have a concept of a ravi bekodesh and a shlishi betruma. V'amar b'chia barabba, amar b'yochanan, me'iduso shal Rabbi Akiva nishnas mishnazu. And he says, and Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that this mishnah comes from the edus of Rabbi Akiva. This, in edios, from the edus of Rabbi Akiva, this mishnah comes. So what do you see? That the author of this mishnah is Rabbi Akiva, and what's he talking about? The lowest levels of tuma, shlishi betruma, ravi bekodesh. He does not have a ravi betruma and a chamishi bekodesh. How do we see that this comes from the edus of Rabbi Akiva? To Tanan, we have a mishnah Masech Eduyos, Hosef Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva, this was the Eduyos was, as we said many times, Eduyos was a Masech that was learned all in one day when they got all the chachamim. That's the churban got it to the Gemara and Gittin Daf and Vav that we're talking about, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Tain li Yavne v'chachameha." So he got Yavne. So they got all the chacham together in Yavne and said, "Say over whatever you remember that you think might be forgotten." And all in one day, all the chacham got up one after the other. That they were made, that they have a mesorah from this one and they have a mesorah from this one about all these different halachos. So this was the Eduyos, Maseches Eduyos represents the continuation of Torah Shebal Peh and the ability of Torah to flourish after the Churban. That's what it represents to us. That's a dafyomi coincidence, I think. So Hosef Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva adds as follows: Hasolus vaktores valvona vagecholim shem nugget full yom b'muksasan pasalus kulan. That all of these non-edibles, even though they're not food, but as we said before, chibas hakodesh makes them like food. If someone who's a tful yom touches part of them, then all of them become possible. Why? Because of a tziruf kli. That as long as they're in the same kli, then touching part of it will be metame all of it. Even though if you have different coals, you only touched one coal, you didn't touch all the coals, the kli is mitzarif them. So that all comes from Rabbi Akiva's edus. So you see that the idea of kli mitzarif is based in Rabbi Akiva, and that very same braisa that talks about a kli being mitzarif says about a revi'i bakodesh, but no further, revi'i in chamishi lo. Shlishi in Revi'ilo and a Shlishi Betruma and no further than a Shlishi Betruma. So you see Beferish that Rabbi Akiva stops it at that he doesn't go beyond a Shlishi Betruma and a Revi'i Bekodesh. That's how we know that Rabbi Akiva does not hold like Rabbi Yossi. Good. Now that we mentioned Siruf, so the Gemara just happens to add in a couple of lines about Siruf. Alma Kasavar Tziruf Terabanan. The implication of the previous conversation that we just had was the concept of Tziruf is only Terabanan. How does it imply that the concept of Tziruf is only Terabanan? So Rashi says, Milsabar Benafshi, Mida Amar Rabbi Yochanan Me'edusa Shal Rabbi Akiva Nishnis, Alma Kasavar Rabbi Yochanan Tziruf Tekli Lekodesh Tektani Gabi Malos, Lavda Raisu Elimi Terabanan Me'edusa Shal Rabbi Akiva. That from the fact that that Rabbi Yochanan points out that we learn it from a duso shal Rabbi Akiva implies that it's only a din derabanan to be derabanan who the chol mulvana lav bnei kubulei tumaninu elamid derabanan. How so? Because the application of it is by gechalim, and by gechalim the tumah that they can get is only because of they're not really ochlin, so the tumah they have is only because of chibas hakodesh. That entire concept is only derabanan. So we were talking about a tumah derabanan in the context of discussing this idea of tziruf. So that's how we must know that tziruf is a din derabanan. That's where we get the idea that tziruf is only a din derabanan, not a din d'oraisa. Now the upliga de Rabbi Chanan, but that's against Rabbi Chanan. The Amar Tziruf d'oraisa. Rabbi Chanan holds Tziruf is d'oraisa. Shneimar kaf achas asara zahav malaya katoras. Hakasuvasa kol ma shebekaf achas. The Torah considers everything that's in the cup, everything that's in the spoon, to be achas, even though they're not, it's not a single unit. So from there we see the concept of tziruf, that maybe tziruf is daraisa. So essentially the Gemara has a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand, who seems to say tziruf is derabanan, and Rabbi Chanin who holds that tziruf is a din daraisa. A few things about tziruf. Tziruf is not only a din that applies over here in the context of kachim. Tziruf is a din that applies elsewhere as well. We have in the halachas of hafrashas chala, we have a din of tziruf. The halacha is that if a person makes a dough that's a sizable amount of dough, so you have a mitzvah of hafrashas chala. If it's a very tiny dough, so then it's not, you have no mitzvah of hafrashas chala. What if you make multiple small doughs? Is there a mitzvah of hafrashas chala? So at some point you need to be mitzarif them, whether as a dough they need to be touching each other. At some point there needs to be a tziruf. So there is a din that when it comes to frashas challah, the Shulchan Aruch talks about a din of being mitzarif in the sal, that even after the bread is already baked, you could put them all together in the same basket, and the sal, the basket itself, is mitzarif them to create the shear of frashas challah. So you could have a chiv of frashas challah even after the bread is baked by being put in the same basket. That's the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yardei Simshin Chafei, but Yesh Omrim, the Mishnah Brura quotes a Yesh Omrim that one kli is not going to be mitzarif l'challah unless they're actually touching each other. Just being in the same basket is not enough. So he says Yesh lahachmir kedivreim. What does it mean lahachmir kedivreim? Make them touch each other so they don't have a suffix of challah. That if you put them all in the same basket, you should make sure that the breads are touching each other to create the tziruf. Now this idea of a tziruf isa l'challah. So the Tanya Rabasi says b'shem Rashi that it's learned from the pasuk of kafachas. It's learned from our pasuk of tziruf by kodesh. That if we're going to say kafachas tells me that everything in the kli on a daraisa level is enough to be mitzarif kodesh. So the same thing is going to be true by challah. However, the Yerayim writes that since this pasuk was said l'gabe kodesh, we can only learn from it l'chumra, that a kli is mitzarif, but not l'kula. So if you have, let's say, two doughs, each one is big enough to be chayv and chal in its own right, and they're both in a kli and not touching each other, can you just be mafresh challah from one of the doughs to cover both of them? So he says, no, that far you can't do, because we're not going to rely on the tziruf l'kula to say that a hafrasha from one dough will cover both of them, because they're really one big dough anyway. No, we're going to view them as two separate doughs, in that you're going to need to be mafresh challah separately from each of them if each one is big enough. However, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush all say that the makar of din, of this din, of a kli being mitzarif l'challah, is from a totally different pasuk. It's from pasuk so we see that you're mafresh min ha'afui, that it's already called lechem ha'aretz, so you see that you could be mafresh challah from something which is already baked. How are you mafresh something from challah from something that's already baked? That would have to be one very giant loaf of bread. So no, it doesn't have to be like a chasna challah to be mafresh from something that's already baked. It must be that there's some sort of din of tziruf. That's where they learn the din of kli being mitzarif, not from here. Sefer HaChinuch has a gevaldik achirish. He says, Shamatim pi mori, Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Shin Pei Hei, that yesh omrim, that only if you take the bread straight from the oven and put it directly into a kli that has a base kibul, that's when it's going to be that's when there's going to be tziruf. But if you put it out on a flat board and then let it cool and then later on put it into a kli, then it's not going to be tziruf. What's the svara? Why? What does it matter when you put it into a kli? So apparently there's some point where the kli of chal is not going to be chal anymore. Meaning at some point where you go to this bakery, that bakery, and you just put all these loaves of bread that you buy together in a bag. So you're going to say that at that point there's going to be a new chi of challah? There's got to be some point where no longer is going to be a chi of challah. It says Zifra Chinuch, that where is that point? When the baking process stops. When does the baking process stop? As soon as it cools down. Once the bread cools down, then it's over. Then the baking is over. Then it's too late to create a new chiyuv challah. So that's what he says. Let's go straight from the oven into the basket in order to have a chiyuv challah. A lot of the Rishonim quote this as a yesh omrim. So that's a shaila whether we're choshesh for that shita at all, that it has to go directly from one to the other. There's another application of the concept of tziruf that we'll mention quickly. There is a question, and it's a very probably an application most of us would not have made. I'm not even sure if I fully understand this application. There is a shaila about in the kashrus of a sefer Torah. The halach is if two letters of a sefer Torah are touching each other, so it's puzzle. So what you would do is normally you would have to you'd have to separate the letters from each other. So let's say in the Chuvas Hari B'Samim, he has a shaila about a sefer Torah where the first hey in Yudke Vavke was connected to the vav right after it. But how did it become connected? The Balkori was reading, a little saliva came out of his mouth. It somehow moistened the ink, and the ink ran from one to the other. It just the ink wasn't the highest quality ink, and the ink ran from one letter to the other letter. So they wanted to know, can they fix the Sefer Torah by just knocking out that little connector, that little bit of ink? Can they just erase it? So there is a sheet of the Nodeb Yehuda. Nodeb Yehuda writes in Madura Tinyana that if at the time of the Ksiva the Sefer Torah was written properly and the letters were distinct from each other, and it only later became Mechubar, the Osios became connected later to the point where they're not all mukefas kavil, and each of the osios are not completely surrounded by parchment, you're not allowed to be misaki in the Sefer Torah at all, says another Bida. Why? He says, based on the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is done that it could be that this psul of hek of kavil is only pasels mishas ksiva, and it's not going to pasel later on. So if that's the case, says the Nodeb Yehuda, according to the Beis Yosef, this Sefer Torah is really kosher. If it's really kosher, then by taking away some of the ink, you're violating Mechikas Hashem. You're erasing part of what is the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah, because you're taking away part of the ink that's part of a kosher ksiva Shem Hashem. So, but you can't not do it, because we don't really pasel like that Beis Yosef, and it might be pasel. So the Sefer Torah is gone. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't take away the ink because you can't be mochik shem Hashem, and you can't leave it there because it's and use it because it's going to be a psul. So says the Nodeb Yehuda. So the Hari B'Sam says, I don't understand. That's not mechikas Hashem. It's this little extra bit of ink that's connecting. That's clearly not part of the shem Hashem. It wasn't even there the whole time. It's just running from one to the other. It doesn't think that that's called mechikas Hashem. Nodeb Yehuda quotes elsewhere that this din of that ink has a status of Shem Hashem. He says he learns it from Tziruf Kli. Kaf Achas, everything that's in the same Kli is one. So he says from there you see that a Tafel to something becomes part of the something. And therefore the Tafel to the Shem Hashem, that ink that runs from the Shem Hashem, is Tafel to the Shem Hashem, and it becomes part of the Shem Hashem. Of all the places to have derived this din, very difficult to understand how we connect it. I think generally speaking, most of the poskim did not assume like that, Nodeb Yehuda, that it's not fixable. Most, I think, would assume that it is fixable, that you can cut out that little piece. But anyway, okay, so that's the end of sugya number one on today's daf. Now sugya number two. New statement of Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim. Tanan Hasam, four lines from the bottom. Al machat shenimtzes bebasar, shasakin v'yadayim taharos. If you find a needle that you know is tamei, or that you think is tamei, in the basar, in the flesh of an animal, the tsakin, the knife that they used, and the adayim are taharos, v'abasar tamei. But the basar itself is going to be tamei. So you have a tamei needle found in the meat of a shechted karban. This is not just stam chul, an animal, there's a karban. So the knife used for shechita, the hands of the person who did the shechita are tahar, but the meat itself is tamei. However, nimtzeis beperesh hakol tahar. If the needle is found in the animal's excrement, then everything is tahar. Then the meat is tahar, the hands are tahar, everything is tahar. Am Rabbi Akiva, zachinu she'in tumas yadayim v'mikdash. So Rabbi Akiva says, he makes this comment that we're very fortunate that there's no dindar abanon of tumas yadayim, of hands becoming a she'ni l'tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, why is that a zachinu? Why are we so fortunate about that? Because it would ruin a lot of karbanos. Meaning, we don't want so much tuma in the Mikdash. Not having all the hands becoming a she'ni l'tuma in the Mikdash is very helpful. Says the Gemara, but wait a second, shouldn't we say that ain tumas yadayim and kelim in the mikdash, meaning the tumah d'rabbanan on kelim when they come into contact with a mashka rishon, you should say that doesn't apply in the mikdash either, based on what Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim just taught us, right? What did he teach us? That machat that's nimtzes bebasar shasakin v'yadayim toros. He didn't just say yadayim toros. He said the sakin is also tahar. So shouldn't you say that it must be that we're not gozer tumas kelim b'mikdash either? The idea of again tumas kelim a tumah d'rabbanan, that a kli that comes in contact with the mashka rishon would become a sheni l'tuma, so we should say that doesn't apply either. Some Rav Yudam Rav, Itam Rav Yosi Rav Chanina, Yadayim Kodem Gzeres Kelim Nishnu. First answer the Gemara says is Enochinami, he could have declared that, he could have made such a statement, but it was unnecessary because the Gzera on Tumas Yadayim was made before the Gzera on Tumas Kelim. So when Rabbi Kiva made the statement, there was no Gzera on Tumas Kelim to begin with, so he couldn't proclaim, oh, we're so fortunate that there is no Tumas Kelim B'Migdash. There was no Gzeir on Tumas Kelim yet. The whole Chumar didn't exist yet. So he didn't have anything to comment on. But in Achinami, once they made that Gzeir, it didn't apply in the Migdash based on this. So Amrava Vahatravayu Boba Yomga. So the Rava says, no, it's not true. They both were made on the, both Gzeiros were made on the same day. The Gzeir of Kelim and the Gzeir of Yadayim was all Boba Yom. You can't tell me that one was made before the other. How do I know that? The Tanan has sefer for yadayim vatvul yom va'ochlin ve'hakelim shenitmu b'mashkin. All of these are included in the Yud Ches Davar. The Yud Ches Davar that we have, the 18 gzeros at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, where they got together and they came up with these 18 chumras. They all were taught on the same single day. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that they looked around the Beis Medrash and they saw that the Talmidei Beis Shammai outnumbered the Talmidei Beis Hillel. They said, now would be a great time to vote. And they took 18 votes, and they and that's where those were the Yud Ches Davar. They outvoted the Beis Hillel so many times based on that, but it was all in a single day. Tosos raises the question that the Gemara and Shabbos says that, wait a second, was this really all in the same day? Gemara and Shabbos tells us Shlomo Melch was gozer on Yadayim Lakodesh, right? Shlomo Melch made the gezerah of Tumas Yadayim that Stam Yadayim will be Tame Lakodesh. So how can the Gemara say that the gezerah Yadayim and the gezerah Kalim were on the same day, both in the Yud Ches Davar? One was a gezerah Shlomo Melch, who was not on the day that they got together and they took a quick vote. So Tosos Matari, Rabbi Kiva himself was not speaking about the gezerah that was made in the days of Shlomo Melech. He was speaking about the gezerah Yud Ches Davar that they made. It was a different gezerah, meaning that we were zocher from Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, who was before the Yud Ches Davar, that even afterwards, when they were doing the Yud Ches Davar, they were not gozer tumas yadayim b'migdash. They left it as tahoros, like it was in the days of Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim, that he was metar as hayadayim. That's another historical problem Tos is dealing with. That what kind of declaration from Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim was zocha that the gzeira doesn't apply? Rabbi Chanina Sagan HaKohanim came before the gzeirah. What do you mean, Zocha, the gzeirah doesn't apply? The gzeirah was made afterwards. Maybe the gzeirah does apply. He says, no, when they were making the Yud Ches Davar, they left it out of respect for B'chanin Sgan HaKohanim's Eidos, that they left it out from the Yud Ches Davar. But all of the Akronim try to figure out what exactly the difference is between this Tumah and the Tumah of Shlomo HaMelech. Some say Shlomo HaMelech was only Mesakein and Netilas Yadayim, rather than like a positive mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, rather than the problem of Tumas Yadayim, something like that. You got to come up with something. So anyway, so says the Gemara, Ella Amarava, so Hanuch Latumasak, why does Rabbi Akiva proclaim only about Yadayim and not about Sakin? Hanuch Latumasakin da filu b'chulinami lametame. He says, because when the knife wouldn't have become tame in this case, even if it were chulin, meaning forgetting about Kodesh. This has nothing to do with the special heter that we have for the Beis HaMikdash, where we're trying to minimize tuma. Even if it were a chulin, because it never touched a liquid, and kelim cannot become tame from food, nor can kelim become tame from other kelim. The Gemara is about to explain. Hai sakin denaga b'mai. What happened to this knife to make it tame? Ilem denaga b'basar ha'ein ochel metamei kli. What, it touched basar? Well, food can't be metamei a kli, so it wouldn't become tamei anyway. What, vel denaga b'machad? It touched the needle? V'hayin kli metamei kli. A kli can't be metamei another kli. So the fact that it touched a needle should be irrelevant as well. So hay machad maya vidite. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Let's take a step back. I mean, we're not questioning the last line. Now we're taking a giant step back. We're talking about you find a tamei needle. What does it mean, a tamei needle? What made it tamei? What do we know about this needle? So the Gemara has three possibilities. So inema safek machat. You're going to say that it's a safek machat. It was a needle that we weren't sure if it was tamei. So vayidma Rablazer, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, chadam lo gazral safek arokin shabi Yerushalayim, v'chadam lo gazral safek hakelim shabi Yerushalayim. That one says that they weren't gozer on a safek saliva in Yerushalayim, that maybe it came from a zav, and the Gemara is going to say later, even if you know that a zav walked through that area. And the other says safek kalim in most areas of Yerushalayim we're not gozer, meaning apparently we aren't gozer on sfeikos of tuma in Yerushalayim. So if this machat was a safek, then we would never have been gozer that it has a status of tuma. So it can't be that it's a safek whether it was tamei or not. It's in Yerushalayim. It's a korban. So I'm Ravidam Rav. Second possibility. You had lost a machat that had become tame from a tame mace. A tame mace is an avatuma. Mace itself is a vievos. The tame mace is an avatuma. The machat that touches a tame mace, because a machat is a metal utensil, is also an avatuma. So you had lost this machat that's an avatuma, and now you find it in the basar. That was the case. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Avin Amar, third possibility, he says, no, the cow where you found the needle in was muzzled since entering Yerushalayim. This needle got into its flesh because it swallowed it at some point, but it swallowed it before entering Yerushalayim. So it is Tamei Misafek, meaning we can go back to that first approach, that it's Tamei Misafek, but you know that it came from outside of Yerushalayim, and therefore even though they weren't Gozer Tumah Misafek in Yerushalayim, there goes a Tumah Misafek outside of Yerushalayim. This concept of not being Gozer Tumah in Yerushalayim is also something that plays a role in Halacha. The halacha is that there are a lot of halachas that are said dafka by Yerushalayim. The Gemara in Baba Kama says that we're not malinus hames by Yerushalayim. You never let a mace stay overnight in Yerushalayim. You bury him right away. You don't leave a mace out. Or the Rambam also that in kovrim mace in Yerushalayim. You always bury the mace outside of Yerushalayim. There's no kfur of a mace in Yerushalayim. Rambam passes this halacha in Ilchas Beis HaBechira. So that's a discussion. The Achronim, does that still apply nowadays? Meaning, is this a din in tuma, or is this a din in kedushas Yerushalayim? Nafkamina would be if it's still nogeya b'zman hazeh. If it's a din in tuma, so nowadays everyone's tameh anyway, and we're not nisar in tuma anyhow, so there's no reason to still have these dinim. But if it's a din in kedushas Yerushalayim, well, that's kitchel shaita v'kitchel asalavo. The kedushas Yerushalayim still exists, and therefore these halachos should still apply. In the era kodesh v'migdash, he has a whole discussion about whether these dinim apply. But this is the concept. They're always trying to minimize the tumah of Yerushalayim, either because of tumah or because of kedusha. But anyway, Gufa, Rav Lazar, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina. So going back to the three explanations we just gave, Rav Lazar, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina said, "Chadam lo gazral safek arokin shibu Yerushalayim, v'chadam lo gazral safek akelim shibu Yerushalayim." One of them said that we're not gozer on safek rok that it's tumah in Yerushalayim. The other one said we're not gozer on safek kelim. So rokin tanina, kelim tanina. What do I need Rav Lazar and Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina to teach me this? We already have mishnayos that teach me this. Rokin tanina detanan kala rokin on some Yerushalayim tahorin chus mishal shulka elyon. It already says beferish in the Mishnah that all saliva that's found in Yerushalayim you could assume is tar except for in the shulka elyon. So why do I need an amor to teach it to me? So lo tzricha afal gav di ischazik zav. No, the extra chiddush he's teaching me is that even though it's ischazik zav, which means that even though you know that a zav walked in this shuk, in this area, still you could be makel on the suffik rok. Kalim tanina, what does he teach me? We already know in the Mishnah that Safek Kalim when that goes, it's not. Kala Kalim and Nimsom Yerushalayim, Derech Yerida Lebes HaTevila Tamein, Hadiel Matarin. The Mishnah says, where can you assume a kli that you found in Yerushalayim is Tamei? If you find it on the path that goes down toward the mikvah. Because obviously it was being brought to the mikvah, someone dropped it on the way there. But anywhere else? Tahar, apparently. So you already see that kelim are tahar. So what's the Amora teaching me? I already have it in the Mishnah. Ulitameich ema seifa derech aliyah tahorin hadialma tamein. So Gemara says, no, you can't be medayik that way, because then you should make the opposite diyuk also. Right, what does it say? The Mishnah goes on to say, and anything you find on the path going out of the mikveh, you can assume those kelim are tar, because it just came from the mikveh, obviously. Apparently that is separate entrance and exit. Anything that was going out of the mikveh, you can assume is tar. But the implication of that line is that if you find it anywhere else, that it's tamei, that a safek kli in Yerushalayim is tamei. Sa'ala resha dafka v'seifa lav dafka. So it must be that that's what I need the Amara to tell me, that I should make the diuk in the resha and not in the seifa, that kelim found elsewhere in Yerushalayim are Artar ula afuke gazyasa. What does that mean? To exclude, Rashi explains, small mavuos that were near the Derech Yerida and the Aliyah. Sometimes people would go through that that area, and some and those are tamei misafek, because those were always tamei misafek. That they would since those were always tamei misafek, there is not going to be a special din of tahara in Yerushalayim for kelim found in those little mavuos. But the bottom line, that's what the seifa is coming to do. But the bottom line is the resha is the ikur diuk. There is no suffik tuma. We were not going to be machmir on a suffik tuma of kelim in Yerushalayim. Now, according to Rav, that you lost a needle that was tamei meis, and then you found it in the flesh of this animal. Wait a second. If the machar was tamei meis, that means it was an avatuma. An avatuma is not only metamei basar. An avatuma could be metamei kelim. It could be metamei a person. So why do we say that the basar is tamei, but the person is tahar, the kelim, the knife is tahar? It should all be tamei if it touches the machat. So Ravashi is also meres azara rishus harabim. He, the azara, has a status of rishus harabim. Vavale safik tum rishus harabim, and this is therefore a situation of a safik tum rishus harabim. The call safik tum rishus harabim sveiko tahar. Any safik tumah in rishus harabim, the halacha is going to be misafik that it's going to be tahar, and that's why the adam and the kelim, since it's only a safik tumah, the adam and the kelim are going to be tahar in this case. Okay, we're right in the middle of something, but we'll pick up tomorrow. Questioning the diuk, what if it were a Rishul Sayyafi?